Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wizard Talk. My name is Jason McKean. This is a show about accessing your inner wizard and aligning yourself to the magic of creation and moving forward in your life. Greetings. You know, I had an experimental moment there in North Hollywood. I was working at the Green Man, where I work on Sundays and Tuesdays. And there's a local market there, you know, I can grab a snack or a drink or whatever. And so I was there by myself. I was walking to the store, and then as I walked out, I said, you know what, I would like to see something magical. I would like to, you know, have some kind of magical occurrence take place. And so I'm walking back, and I'm taking kind of a little bit of a longer route. It's a kind of a quiet neighborhood, and then it turns a corner, and then you're back on the busy street. And as I turned the corner onto the busy street, I saw this car, and it's not a car I'd seen before. And it was like a station wagon or a hearse kind of body, but it had like these Batman fins on it. It was like a kind of this red-ish color, like a reddish, you know, wine-colored or a deep red. And it had these fins, and it had like these really kind of exaggerated like hubcaps and light fixtures. It was really kind of cool. It was cool. It kind of like took me back to, like it was like a Batman episode, some villain's car. But in that moment, it was like, yes, that is magical. And so that experiment was successful. And you know, I'm not like someone who's like, you know, okay, now show me something really magical. You know, it's just like, you know, one can be appreciative and in gratitude for, you know, again, these things that are out of the ordinary, they come across our path. And, you know, it's like if you ask for it, you know, be ready to receive. And don't, you know, look at something and say, oh, well, that's not it. You know, I'm looking for something better, you know, something more magical. I'm a big believer that too much of anything is too much. And, you know, it's like tempering magic even, you know, so that we're not like in a place of disappointment, of expectation, of where, you know, it's just like we want the biggest and best and most magical at all times. It's like, you know, it's like we have enough just to love what we do have, and to, you know, be in a place of gratitude for, you know, that which we already have in our midst. So that was kind of fun though, you know, because I like kind of just exaggerated like cars and stuff like that. I'm a fan of that. So that was cool. Let's see. Before we get started, my website, jasondmckean.com, JasonDMckean.com. And I guess to add to that while I'm still thinking about it, you know, because I was talking about how I think it was with some colleagues about like predicting lucky lotto numbers and things like that. You know, it's like, I'm of a mind that to take risks, to gamble, it's like we do that every day, you know, when we kind of rise up through our own fear and express a part of our identity that we're not totally sure about, you know, if like I say, you know, I'm a healer in the world, which a lot of people do. And I have no qualms about that. You know, it's like I have that identity as well. And yet I'm still wrestling with how comfortable I am in expressing it. a tarot wizard? Absolutely. You know, that's what I do. A wizard? It gets a little dicier. A healer? Way dicey for me. Right, and it is a risk, you know, to be able to, you know, give it credence by giving it voice, and to lay it out there. You know, so I do believe in that kind of, you know, taking risks, but with like money and stuff like that, you know, it's like it's not everyone's gift is there. Some people's gifts are totally there to be able to choose, you know, lucky lotto numbers and, you know, winners at the racetrack. If you're into that, do it. You know, if you have the gift for it, it's like my gift is different. You know, it's something that I feel is more about helping people in their life path and, you know, looking to empower themselves, to see themselves, to see their process. You know, so that's just the one thing I want to add to that. On my website, I have my tarot reading schedule that are at the Green Man at Kathmandu on Wednesdays. And I'm going to be teaching at the Green Man upcoming, probably in March. There I've got some classes outlined there, Power of Transformation, Navigating the Dark Cards, and I give myself permission to ... you fill in the blank, and then we explore it. It's going to be really, really fun, and if it's not fun, then it's going to be really, really treacherous. It can be both, right? It can be where, you know, someone's they put themselves out there, you know, by saying, you know, I give myself permission to be this person in the world. It's just like, okay, all right, well, we'll see about that, Mr. or Mrs. Now, but we use the tarot to explore that. And, you know, when one steps in their power, a place of empowerment for them, then, you know, there's, one has to be kind of ready for either that acceptance or non-acceptance. You know, people that say, yes, you are this person, or maybe not quite yet. You know, it's like that's a gamble. That's a risk that we take. Along with my tarot reading schedule and my workshops, I've got the Om chant CDs, which are played throughout the world in yoga studios, meditation halls, and birthing centers, hospices, and in, you know, people use them for their own spiritual awakening, their own journeys, their own, you know, healing meditations, whatever. It's like it's a really great background for that. So check it out. They're at jasondmckean.com, JasonDMckean.com. I, at one of my workshops there, I think it was, it was after the Portland workshop last month. What I do for certain workshops is I'll have an envelope. I will hand write a word on 3x5 index cards, and I will write a different word on each card, And for Portland and Seattle, I did about 60, 65, 70 different words. And the vast majority of them are positive words. They're ones that it's not about writing hate or war, anything like that. It's more in that positive vein as a word or a symbol, like a star, a pentacle, 11-11, groovy stuff like that. And I chose one too for myself. I gifted one to me, and it was the word being, BEING, being. And it was like, oh, okay, that's nice. I didn't have anything that exactly related to it. Although when I was up, gallivanting around up north, it was like, I was in the present moment a lot, and that's a huge part of being is recognizing the present, the now moment, and investing yourself in it fully. And yet, it's like I brought it home with me, and I set it on my desk. And I think it was just like a couple days ago, and I wrote about it on my Facebook. I took a photo of the card there, and I was thinking about how it is that we look to like resolve events, resolve situations in our life. It's like the ongoing is kind of like something that not everyone can deal with mostly. And partly it's because as humans, we like stories. And we like jokes. And we like anecdotes that go somewhere, that wrap it up nicely, that have a moral to them or a lesson. That reminds me of a joke. And it's about, two people who go out on a date, and it seems like they have a really nice time, and they part there, and one of the people, they expect, the other one to call. And so they're kind of like waiting around, just like, okay, when are they going to call? And so they wait, and they're waiting, and they're waiting. So that's it, right? And that's not a very good joke as far as jokes go. It's like, what the hell? And yet life can be like that, right? It's like, we can like have these experiences that it's like they're teed up to go somewhere, and they don't go somewhere. And our brain hates that, It's like, we're expected to, have a beginning, middle, and end, or at least some kind of like resolution to it, where at least they call up, the other person and says, you know what, I know we had a good time, but I, you're just not the person I'm looking for, and I think it's best that we, not see each other, right? It's like someone's mind can handle that, right? What they can't handle is the silence, is the deafening roar there of the unsaid, of the unknown. It's like as a psychic, as a tarot reader, it's like I get many a call from people who haven't heard from someone, and sometimes there's legitimate reasons, And a lot of the times it's because it's just, you know, people, they don't feel the need to reach out and end something. But for those of us who are, you know, look to have that resolution to it, it's like, can be quite maddening. And so I wanted to take a look and see what that energy is of resolution. Are we just trained, you know, as humans, because, you know, we're so locked into our entertainments and all, where, you know, it's like we like that energy of beginning, middle, and end, so that, you know, we can, you know, use it somehow in our life later. But I tend to think that that, you know, with the with you know what that represents, you know, it, I believe that the mind, you know, is the part of us that likes to organize things, so that it can, you know, draw reference. It can help plan things, you know, upcoming for us, and try to make sense of just life. And I think the bigger part of life isn't necessarily have like those clear-cut boundaries that the mind creates. I think that it draws distinction, whereas life is just kind of the big kind of vat of goo where everything's happening. But our brain is the one that says, "Oh, okay, well, this happened then, and then I did this, and I said that," and, you know, and it creates a chronology of activities, and looks to, you know, find meaning that way. And sometimes, you know, when one doesn't find that meaning, and it can be quite maddening. You know, so does one, you know, look for a deeper, you know, like something that underlying the activities to find that meaning? Or, you know, can one just kind of just let it go and say, you know what, maybe down the road I'll see, you know, something deeper, but for now I'm not going to make myself crazy on it. It's like I want to look at what the energy of, you know, what is behind resolution. It's interesting that I had that analogy there of like the date, you know, because the first card that comes up is the two of cups, which is it shows the two people usually who are, you know, forming a relationship. And it's like we have our reasons for being in relationships, and just like, you know, like another person will have their reasons for it. And you know what we can do is be upfront. We can be honest with why it is that we are looking for relationship, and we can't control someone else. We cannot, you know, like force someone to respond to us in a certain way or to feel about us in a certain way. You know, that's on them. That's they're accessing how they're wired, how they're built, and what it is that they want for themselves. You know, so to look at the energy of you know, resolving things, certainly in relationships, you know, that two of cups in some decks, like the Rider-Waite and all, it has like this figure that's like the two snakes intertwined, like the caduceus, and I feel that's a symbol of healing. And sometimes we have specific relationships to heal, certain parts of ourself that we look to heal. You know, like if we have a past that's you know, like where romantic relationships that where they don't work out so well, and it's like, oh well, you know, here's someone that looks like they can offer an opportunity for me to heal that. You know, it looks like they're, you know, willing to be, you know, thoughtful of me and considerate of, you know, my needs, and I can learn to heal that within myself. And, you know, so relationships are definitely a big part of how we I think why we look for resolution and we look for resolution with people, you know, with people that are perceived to be like enemies too, you know. It's like in some ways it's easier if we kind of know where someone is coming from than if they show up and then they just disappear. Right, it's like our brain just going, what was that all about? You know, why did that person, like, you know, show up? Why were they all kind of hot and heavy there in my life? And then boom, they're gone. You know, it's like it's weird to think of it in those terms. The second card that shows up, the Six of Pentacles, the card of give and take. The card of, you know, where sometimes one is a benefactor, one is able to be generous. And, you know, also if that turns and one is needing help. And, you know, again, looking at the energy of behind resolution, that need to resolve things. It's like that aspect of give and take, you know, it's like it feels like, you know, we're not privy to all of the answers, you know, like, you know, the universe will sometimes give us very clear reasons. And then it's going to like say, okay, no, you don't get to know, you know, this reason. It is definitely, you know, one of those parts of, oh, I'll use myself as an example. You know, it's like it's something I have to work on because it does kind of make me a little crazy to not be able to figure something out or to, you know, resolve it. To be in a place of knowing, you know, how someone might feel towards me if there's a disappearance, right? If someone is not there anymore, it's like did I do something, you know? Last card on that question, the Ace of Cups. Again, kind of cups are prevalent in this idea of looking at the energy behind resolution or you know, finding the outcome of something. And you know, are there final outcomes to something? You know, especially in relationships. You know, it's like, you know, two people can, you know, say goodbye to each other and then find that a few years down the road, it's like they run into each other again and boom, you know, it's like it's like a new beginning happens. You know, it's like, you know, one can look at the example of a DNA strand where it intersects and then it goes apart and then intersects and goes apart. You know, it's as far as is energy that is undying, can it just kind of go forever like that, where it's like a DNA strand that, you know, has no end to it. And with the Ace of Cups, you know, coming into it, that feels like it's the energy of that is always about beginnings and not endings, right? It's like where one thing ends, but that just signals like another thing beginning. And so to kind of, you know, retrain our heads in not trying to just end things, you know, because we just want to, you know, like, and one of the questions I was going to ask, you know, is like, you know, does everything have a resolution? And maybe that's a good question to ask right now, because I'm seeing the energy of it already is where it's a construct. It's something to give us peace of mind. It's designed to do that, but it may not actually, you know, be the reality of it. So I'm gonna ask about that, as far as, you know, because that's kind of a two-parter, you know. Does everything have a resolution? I'm just choosing three cards here. Wow, that gets heavy. Oh boy, it's like the Knight of Cups comes up. Interesting, more cups. The Death card. That's why I said it got interesting. And then the Five of Wands, which in the Wizard's Tarot is a card of the group. And, you know, the Knight of Wands, or, I'm sorry, the Knight of Cups, that is, again, kind of that heart energy that allows us to be expressive of our own desire, and to not, like, allow for it to be always in a real heavy way. There's a freedom to be to express things in a light manner, so that we're not like investing so heavily that our expectations start to outweigh what is like really happening, you know. So you know, looking at, you know, does everything have a resolution, and with that card, it's like no, you know, because there's sometimes a lightness about our own actions. I'll go back to that example of you know, the people that go out on a date, right? First date. And it's a date, right? It's not a full commitment of marriage or anything like that. It's just like it's a date. And to, you know, expect the world after that it's silly. And, you know, again, I, as a reader, as a psychic, you know, it's like I'll get, you know, people who are scratching their heads when, you know, they have like a date with someone, and then that person drops out. They don't contact them. They just like they fall out of the picture, and it's just like where did they go? Why did they go? Why? And it, you know, sometimes it is just that, because it's a that lightness, that light activity, that, you know, it's like they didn't invest anything too heavy in it, so they detach themselves from it. And, you know, if they have that ability to detach from you that easily, they're probably not the person that you want to build a larger foundation, you know, build a life with. And so you're kind of being saved from that. And, you know, it's like one can adopt that same lightness and like let go. Which brings me to that death card, which, you know, as I was going to say, as we all know, you know, death is not always the end. We don't all know that, really. I mean, we'll have a better idea when we die. But, you know, there are certain things about death. There is a spark, someone's essence, you know, is no longer there. And, you know, does that travel intact to another dimension? Does that, like, you know, that's the big question. How much of our self do we retain? You know, what becomes the definition of ourself at death? And, you know, is that like a final, you know, outcome, resolution? Or, you know, does it have any wiggle room, you know, to you know, be able to take one's essence in and, you know, kind of start fresh, almost like you know, one takes their essence, their like a seed, you know, and they plant themselves elsewhere in either something that's has a physicalness to it or whatever. But I don't feel that for myself, my own experiences, my thoughts on the matter, you know, it's like when the death card shows up in the tarot, it's about transformation. It's about transformation. And so, you know, the butterfly that appears from the caterpillar is certainly a changed being, but in its essence, it's still the same being. It's just that the form has changed, and like that, again, it's like, you know, this example of the two people that go out on a date. It's like, you know, they may not be in contact for a couple years after, but then, you know, it's like they could run into each other in a grocery store or something, and then you know, the person say, you know what, it's like my father died right after that, and it just like threw me for a loop and all, and I did enjoy, you know, our date. I just kind of lost my mind a little bit there, and then it was just kind of too late to, I felt, to come back and say something, you know. I mean, that's just a possibility of that energy, right? It could be that they're just like a huge flake and they don't like just, you know, saying, you know, giving endings, you know, say, yeah, it just didn't work, you know, it's just I don't like you enough to want to invest in you, you know. That's a possibility. But I feel that with the death card too, that is one where, you know, the story is never fully told, where there is other forces at play that can bring people back into each other's social circles, whatever, later on, when there might be more maturity. And then the third card, the Five of Wands, the card of the group, the card of what's the word? It's not competition. It is in like the Five of Wands in like the Rider Waite. But it's where everyone's on the same page and they're looking to do something higher. There, cooperation. There we go. I knew it was another word like that. Cooperation. And it feels like, you know, the energy of that card, you know, because everyone does their part in order to create as they're looking to create a spiritual goal or something, like in this card, they're all pointing their wands at a bonfire that's surrounded by a mini Stonehenge. And it's one where, you know, everyone plays a part in the larger idea or the larger circle of events. And so to not like get in a mindset of where, you know, you make these, you cut off people or you create these boundaries of that which is an ending, and where, you know, you kind of cut off your own way of moving forward too, especially in like spiritual goals. You know, it's like I'm reminded of people that will they'll be in groups of you know, they might have a spiritual leaning to them. They might have a some kind of charitable or you know, it's just something that's larger than themselves. But when they lose interest, or if they have a falling out within the circle of people that are part of it, you know, it's like they'll, you know, sometimes cut themselves out of it. They'll sometimes you know, no longer want to be a part of kind of the bigger picture of what they were trying to do in the first place, and that can be it can be detrimental to the person's own way of attaching to their own purpose. And so I feel it's important to not always you know, look at things in terms of that kind of black and white, you know, just kind of cutting people out of the equation or whatever. It's like you know, where one doesn't lose sight of their own goals, and where they allow for their relationships to others to kind of impede them. Or, you know, I mean, I hear about it from people who are in, you know, church groups or you know, whatever. They like will they'll sacrifice themselves first before hanging in and working through stuff. They'll like, you know, draw these hard lines, and then they'll get like they'll lose out on like the bigger picture for themselves. The second part of that question was, can we train ourselves to let go? Can we look at again kind of our path forward? And when we feel that we've come to this place of, you know, where we have to make a decision about stopping, or if someone else is involved there that we're not fond of or whatever, it's like, you know, can we train ourselves to let go of having to look at a situation where, you know, we may be robbing ourselves of the larger experience. So I pulled three cards on that because that's what I do. And the Page of Pentacles comes up, the Nine of Swords, and the Hierophant. And again, asking about the idea of training ourselves so that we don't throw ourselves under the bus because we're looking for things to go a certain way, and we may not be seeing the larger picture. And the Page of Pentacles, to me, you know, that's a card of where we have a firm voice about who it is that we are. You know, where we express to the universe just loud and proud about who it is that we are, and what it is that we want for ourselves, what we're looking for, and to to know that, to be able to you know, have that clarity within ourselves. It's interesting that the Nine of Swords comes, you know, alongside of that too. You know, because that's the card of overthinking things, where we get ourselves in a spiral. It can be a upward or downward spiral, it doesn't matter, as far as it's just like that wheel, getting on the wheel of trying to figure out everything, all the what ifs. And you know, how we train ourselves to get off that wheel is the most important part, where we can recognize what it is that we do to ourselves, and to be able to, you know, see that we're on this this out of control wheel that is just going faster and faster when we just keep, you know, overthinking things. When it's like, well, what if that happens? And if I do that, then what happens? And if that, and just keep going down that wheel. When we see that it just exhausts us, then we can step off of it. We can say, wait a sec, I see exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to step off of this wheel now. And you know, it's like going back to, you know, that analogy of the date. It's like the person who doesn't have the benefit of knowing why someone isn't calling them, why they're not getting back to them. It's like the mind is a powerful tool. It can be cruel too, you know, because it can go, it can start just spinning out of control, you know, where it's like, you know, it's like, well, they didn't call because they don't like me. And the reason that no one likes me is because da, 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 da. And you just start going through, you know, all of these reasons why, you know, all these experiences, just everything that reinforces, you know, why someone doesn't like you enough to call, right? Or it's like anger, right? It's like, you know, I'm really angry now at this person, and really I would like to see them die, and now I'm going to create all these fantasies of how I'm going to kill them off because they have slighted me by not, you know, calling, which is weird, but you know, it can happen. It's like, you know, try driving sometime on the freeway and have some person cut you off, and then you start fantasizing about them, like, you know, flying off the road or driving off a cliff or something. And it's like you driving by going, oh, well, too bad. I guess they were going too fast. Our mind is something else. Maybe that's just my mind. Oh my God, what did I just say? No, I think we all do it, and when we recognize what we're doing to ourselves, you know, especially in the form of, you know, if we're hurt, if we're hurt by not knowing, then you know, we can lash out, because that's what hurt animals do. They can lash out, and you know, if we don't feel comfortable doing that to them, it's like, you know, maybe we turn on ourselves and start to beat ourselves up. And it takes awareness to see ourselves when we're doing that. You know, so that card, nine of Swords, that's a powerful card when it comes up. And then the Hierophant, in the Wizard's Tarot, it's represented by Chiron, the wounded healer. And Chiron is a teacher. And you know what it represents is knowing our pain and looking to overcome it. You know, to not be in a place of being wounded and not doing anything about it, or you know, where we don't allow it to hold us back. We extend ourselves and we look to be of service to help others, to inform others of, you know, what it is that we're going through. You know, sometimes you know, like again with this example of the date that didn't go as planned, it can be where you know, we reach out. That's certainly a thing where it just says, you know, we just express, you know, our feelings on the matter and leave it at that. You know, you know, I mean, a relationship is you know, two people. And if you're not hearing from someone, you know, it's like you can reach out and just express your truth, your feelings, and you know, you've done your part in it. It looks to be important to do your part in communicating. You know, a big part of, you know, what screws us up as just people are you know, our relationships with other people, and then all of the expectations that we have. I would say that the vast majority of my readings are, you know, in that realm of where, you know, people either in relationship with, you know, like a partner, a mate, in a romantic situation, or an employer, but the vast majority of it is like, you know, just how to navigate those relationships and how to stand up for yourself, how to assert yourself, how to give voice to your true self, and again, it's like, you know, with the Hierophant coming up, that's more about the healer part of us coming out rather than, you know, the person who responds, you know, a few days later and says, "I hope you die for what you've done to me or what you didn't do for me." You know, it's like, I'm sure the other person would, like, you know, feel like, well, that's why I didn't contact you, because I knew that you were psycho. You know, so it's about how we can you know, connect with our better self than the fearful self, the part of us that is you know, we're sometimes the go-to place is diminishing our own self, beating up our self, you know, for any perceived failures in our life. I think one more question, and it's like why do we need that feeling of resolving things? And again, you know, part of it is our upbringing. Part of it is the you know, the stories that we tell and that we like to tell others. It's like you know, the friends and all that who kind of kid with us and say, "Well, what's the point again? What tell us the point of why you brought this up?" My personal feeling, and you know, as part of the first part of what I was talking about, where I had that card that said "being" on it, and it is a verb to be in a state of being, recognizing the moment. I feel that we are not a creation on the earth. I feel that we are creating on the earth. Or maybe it's a creation that's creating. We're a verb. We're not a noun. We're always in action. And being in motion like that, there's a lot of choices to make. And, you know, is every choice that we make, is that predestined? I don't think so. I think there are absolutely things that are predestined. But every little choice that we make, and every choice that's being made for us, I don't believe that that's all predestined. So you know, what is it that is about resolution, you know, that we feel that we need for ourselves? You know, is it so that we can find, you know, peace of mind or calmness or anything like that? It's like what's the need behind it? The first card that comes up, the Page of Cups. The cups have been pretty prevalent in this whole, like the pretty strong cards too. The Page of Cups is that need to express our own heart, you know, to express our own being, our emotions and all in a very open way. And maybe it's about, you know, just how it is that you know, we can best you know, kind of communicate with our fellow humans, you know, in that context of you know, looking for outcomes of either, you know, explaining why one is hurt or why one is joyful because they've had a certain outcome that they can point to. You know, it's like, you know, how many of our friends will, like, you know, just kind of hit us with their own dramas and be in a place of where, you know, it's like, oh, poor me. Right? Poor me. Look what happened to me. And if you said, well, you know, that's not always the end of it. You know, it can, like, kind of let the air out a little bit of someone's sad story. You know, it's just like, hey, let's see what happens tomorrow. You know, hey, maybe they'll call tomorrow. You know, it's like, no, they're not going to call tomorrow. It's like, no, maybe they will. Maybe next week, you know. It is a way of communicating, you know. And, you know, do we feed into that when you know, we're a friend to someone, we're hearing someone talking about it? Do we feed into their trauma about it, or you know, do we see ourselves in that too? Do we see where we do that, and we, you know, create these hard boundaries of people's actions and all, and you know, where, well, that's it. That's the final story. That's the judgment on this person. You know, this person is bad, or this person is really good. You know, do we find ourselves doing that? The second card, the Seven of Swords. That card is one of I see the sevens as like judo cards, the ones that throw us off of balance, and I feel it's one of kind of reclaiming one's one's identity. You know, the swords, they represent the mind, and I feel that those hard lines, I guess, of you know, where we create those beginnings, middles, and ends in our own life story. That those are these markers for ourselves. Sometimes when we need to come back to a place of power within ourselves, you know, because we can go through an event. Let's say, you know, someone goes through a divorce, right? It's like, you know, one uses that as a kind of hard marker in their life to then kind of like keep, you know, to come back from that. It's like, yeah, I was divorced a couple of years ago, and I got really, you know, taken by my mate there, and now it's like, you know, I'm fighting, you know, to get back to my full strength, you know, and working on it, you know. So it's a way of identifying oneself, right, to others, even to ourselves too. You know, if someone has a heart attack or a health condition that has taken them down a few notches, you know, it's like they'll use that as this marker to then like say, yeah, you know, this is what I'm coming back from, you know, or I'm you know, still looking to get better from this. And so, you know, it's a way of, you know, creating these, I mean, what I would call a marker, where we can, you know, measure our own progress. And then lastly, the seven, again, another seven of pentacles, the card of where one, you know, has planted the seeds of maybe their comeback, and they're like, you know, you know, watching that grow, seeing how it goes, you know, like instead of, you know, us like just looking at our birth and saying, okay, you know, this is where I begin everything, you know, as far as like it's like an event or you know, something that they've done for themselves. You know, I usually see it as a positive thing, where they've taken something that they're really attached to in their spirit, something that they're in sync with, and they start manifesting. They start the process of putting that out there in the world, and they start to grow it. You know, it's like going to City Hall and getting a business license, right? And saying, you know what, I'm going to become the hairdresser that I always wanted to be.
Thank you.
And to you know, use that as a reference point, so that we can see our own progress and measure it. And again, it's like, you know, I believe that we're not the creation, we are creating. You know, we are in action for everything that we do. Everything is in motion, and that, you know, life itself doesn't have those hard markers in events and all that. You know, it's like those are things that our mind creates, so that we have, you know, something to you know, kind of move from. And get our own life story kind of in line, to get it, you know, figured out, so that we can, you know, just basically just keep track of what's going on in our life. But it's like at the end of the day, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, creating, being careful of creating those really, you know, hard endings there. You know, it's like, is there room for a sequel in your own life? You know, is with relationships that you have with people, you know, is there an opportunity to, for it to not be the end, the absolute end, you know, where it's like, oh, maybe later in life, you know, they can come in and you've, you create like another chapter. That's what I'm seeing as far as like the energy of the resolutions, and I hope this has been helpful. It's kind of fun, and it's not the easiest like concept to kind of look at and all, but I think the tarot has been very helpful about, you know, how to not, you know, get stuck on again kind of a rigidity of how one looks at it. All right, my website, Jason D. McKean, JasonDMckean.com, and my website has my tarot reading schedule in Los Angeles, and I'll have some workshops coming up here that I'll be telling you about a little bit later. I think they're all happening in March. And then my Om chant CDs, which are on the website, but they're also at Amazon and iTunes, and they're played throughout the world. Anyway, many blessings, and I'll be back next week. All right, bye.